Well, I've got a text from Psalm 44, if you'd just like to turn there. And it's verse 3. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favour unto them. And the psalmist there makes the point which every Christian knows to be true, and which is actually a part of what Jesus taught. Without me, he can do nothing. Do we believe that? I've come to learn the truth of it, I can assure you. The need for dependence upon him, that's really perhaps the theme of my short talk today. I was asked to give a brief word, and I'm quite glad because this is the fourth talk I've given in about 24 hours. But I just want to try to make that point to start with. It is really the Lord upon whom we rely to win the victory for us, to take us into the land. And the point is made in the verse, isn't it? They didn't get the land in possession by their own sword. Nothing that they could have done would have given them victory over the inhabitants of Canaan. They were enormous people with cities fenced up to heaven, is the way the ten spies put it. But they were very big people. There were very many of them. They were entrenched in very defendable cities. And without the Lord, it would have been an impossible prospect to get victory. So that's my first thought. I hope that's a simple, short thought. But I don't think it's anything that you haven't anyway understood very plainly from your own experience and from the Word of God and from the history of the church. Unless God is in the business, it's all pointless. Absolute dependence on the Lord. And that is right, isn't it? Even for the very breath that we take, we depend on him. They were a very different people, though, to the people that came out of Egypt. I'm talking about the generation that succeeded those who died in the wilderness and who went in under Joshua to the promised land. Very different generation of people, very different kind of people. They had been through that long 40-year experience and were now ready to do battle and were very well led by Moses and then by Joshua. But they had had this wonderful experience, and it's a central truth that they came out of Egypt delivered from the wrath of God by the blood of the Lamb. You remember how on the first Passover night the avenging angel crossed over the land and slew the firstborn in every family, from Pharaoh on the throne down to the maid who served the milk. It was a devastating, terrible plague that God, the last of the plagues that God visited upon them. And in those Israeli homes, there would have been every kind of person, young and old, some much better than others. But the one thing which they all relied upon for their defense against God's wrath was the blood of the Lamb. And I'm just reminding us of that point, because yes, we are engaged in his service. We hope to serve him well. We wish to see many souls saved in this area. We wish Mark to be greatly blessed and anointed and to lead well and to go forward to fulfill his calling here. We wish to see those who are opposing this, and there's this meeting on the 12th, which is a very crucial meeting. We wish to see them overruled by heaven. But never forget, we are pilgrims on a journey and absolutely dependent on the blood of Jesus Christ. We're in his army, we're in his business, we are going forward in, I think, his divine purpose. I do really believe that. I really believe he has a divine purpose for this place and it being opposed. I really do believe that. But we are absolutely dependent on the blood of Jesus Christ. I mentioned in my talk this morning at Stroud Green that no matter how much we go on with God, and I hope we're all pressing through, how much we may have served him and may love him and may do very well for him as far as we can. There's not one second, night or day, when the holiest person on earth isn't dependent completely on the blood of Jesus. And it is a means of victory. Now, they overcame him, that is the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. I'm telling you all sorts of things which you know, which I think got from the Lord for this, and it will be a short talk. Now, they had some experience of battle before they crossed the Jordan into the Promised Land under Joshua. They had some experience of battle, and there had come a time when Arad, the Canaanite, had attacked them and taken some captives, and they made a vow. I don't know if you remember this, it's in Numbers 21, please don't go there now. But they made a vow to the Lord that if he would give them victory over King Arad, and I suppose release those prisoners, and then they would absolutely and utterly destroy that king and his people. Now, I just want the point that I want to bring out here, and I'm trying to rush through my few points. There are times when we have to do business with God. And I think when we're faced with a real crisis, and in this church's history, a crisis of its very existence, as this work anyway, then, yes, that's right, we do have to do business with God. But the part that I took from King the occasion with King Arad is this, that they had made that promise. They'd made that promise to God that if he gave them victory, they would absolutely destroy every part of that king and every trace of his tribe. They would really be very serious about that cleansing. And I have thought this many times, and I guess you have too, that yes, we are, in times of great extremity, personally in our own experience, and when the life of the church or the progress of the church or the plan of God for the church is under threat or great things need to be done, God wants from us not just to cry to him and maybe to make him promises, but he wants us to go right through to holiness, to be finished with all those things that spoil. I think God is going to give the victory on the 12th. I hope I'm not being presumptuous to say that, or whatever the victory needs to be given, but I think on the 12th, and whatever the subsequent arrangements and discussions and debates and negotiations may be, I do think he will give victory. But I think that's an occasion to be very careful with the way forward. You know, time to review things, time to be sure of his will and purpose, a time to seek him for his will and purpose, a time to learn of him and lean upon him, a time to find his mind. And as I speak to you, I'm speaking to myself. We have great issues at Stroud Green. We have great issues all the time, don't we? We have great issues in our national life. We are facing such a time of spiritual darkness and conflict as a nation. But when we are delivered by the Lord, and when the Lord comes down to take our part, he wants a holy people. He wants a holy people. In fact, he must have a holy people if the work is to be done. Now, I don't know the main type of enemy that resists God here. You get the world, the flesh, and the devil, don't you? All three work together, actually. And if you lose the battle against any one of them, you've lost against all three. I suspect it is human will that we're up against more than anything. People get entrenched. They imagine they're serving God when they're not. And we looked at that at Stroud Green this morning. Was it yesterday? It might have been in York yesterday. But if it is a matter of human will, and I think it is. I mean, I know the enemy uses people. It's a combined effort, isn't it? To snuff out the work, to snuff out the light in this neighbourhood. It's a combined effort, that's true. But if it is a matter of human will, we have the problem God has, don't we? That's his problem. It's a great problem. And we need a strategy. Again, I'm trying to rush through my thoughts, but there came a time when God had appointed the destruction of King Ahab. I guess you may recall this, but very wrongly, Jehoshaphat very wrongly has joined with Ahab, and they're going up to do battle against the Syrians. And they are encouraged to go by hundreds of false prophets. And Jehoshaphat says, look, wait a minute, isn't there someone here who is a real prophet of the Lord who can really tell us whether we should be going on this project against the Syrians? And Ahab says a very interesting thing. He says, look, there is one, Micaiah, but he never says anything good about me or for me or concerning me. It's always, always negative. Always negative. And they decide to send for Micaiah, and he comes, and those that go to collect him say, look, all the prophets are saying, go, there's going to be victory. You say the same things, I will say what God tells me to say. And when he arrives, he says, yes, you go, you're going to win. But then Ahab says, how many times have I tell you to tell me the truth? And then Micaiah gives him not just God's word, but an extremely interesting revelation that I think helps all of us. It's helped me many times. He says, I'll tell you what I saw. I suppose by vision. I don't know whether it was by vision. I assume so. Last night, I'll tell you what I saw. I saw the Lord on his throne and all the court of heaven assembled. And the Lord puts out the question to his angels, who will go and persuade Ahab to go up to Ramoth-Gilead to die? It is my will to bring an end of this man's earthly journey. That is my will. But you know, Ahab isn't a pawn on a chessboard, is he? That's why I say God's problem is free will. He didn't make robots. And one angel says, I'll try this. Another angel says, I'll try that. It's an interesting insight, isn't it, into one of the ways that heaven works. I think it's a very fascinating insight. And then one angel stands forth and says, look, I will go and be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. I will go and do that. And the Lord says, that will work. Off you go. And it does work. And Ahab goes in the Lord's will and purpose to Ramoth-Gilead and dies. An arrow gets him, the next day dies. And the thought that I get from that, which I think we should pray into, and I'm coming to a conclusion, is that we really do need God's strategy. I do think it's human will that is the main problem with this situation, with those who are opposing his work here, who've taken upon themselves, I think, more than they ought to do, but that's another issue. But we need a strategy. God needs to... it would be wonderful if God will reveal to us a strategy, because to get a change of mind, a change of heart, to deal with human will that is meaning well, that's the problem. They mean well. I assume they do. I don't know that, but I give them the benefit of the doubt to assume that. But that is not the point. Meaning well is not the point. When Peter says to the Lord Jesus, having had that revelation from heaven that this is the Messiah, who do men say that I am? Well, some say this, some say that. Well, who do you say? Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. Flesh and blood hasn't shown you that, Peter. This is a revelation from heaven. But within another moment, he's saying to Jesus, you're not going to go to the cross. And he means well. He loves his master. He doesn't want him to suffer. But who is at work there? What does the Lord say to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. You are speaking with a natural, sympathetic mind. You love me, you care for me, you mean the best, but you haven't the first idea what turns on my journey to the cross. The destiny of humanity, the purpose of the universe, if you like, is wrapped up in this thing. Peter, you mean well. Now, let's assume these gentlemen mean well, but they've got to be overruled. And we need God to show the strategy. He can deal with human will. He's given free will. It's a bit of a pain off. But he's done that. But there's a strategy. And this is why I am really closing with this, and my thought that maybe God will show us how it is that that which is opposing him, presumably with good intentions, though I don't know that, but be generous, but which is really human thinking. It's a human approach. It sees this building, which is probably worth millions of pounds. It sees maybe a project, a new kind of church. I don't know, maybe to sell it off and use the money. But whatever the view is, they don't have the mind of God. That's the problem. And it is really my last thought. We need to pray for a strategy. Amen.